Welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast, where we talk about strategies and insights so you can live happy being well with your host, Rita Ferrugia. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store providing the best in all-natural wellness products, such as natural essential oils, all-natural bath products, all-natural facial masks, all-natural deodorants, irresistible leggings, crystals, including crystal home decor and kitchen items, herbal teas, natural sleep aids, and so much more natural wellness goodies at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on any order within the USA at happybeingwell.com. Now enjoy the show.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. We do have an exciting guest today. We have an impressive guest today. Her name is Tori Dunlap, and she's quite impressive, and you definitely want to hear what she has to say when it comes to financial education. Tori Dunlap is an internationally recognized money and career expert and a podcast host. After saving $100,000 at age 25, Tori quit her corporate marketing job and founded her first $100,000 to fight financial inequality by giving women actionable resources to better their money. She's the host of the number one business podcast, Financial Feminist, author of the book Financial Feminist, published by HarperCollins, and Adweek's Finance Creator of the Year. Tori's work has been featured on Good Morning America, The Today Show, The New York Times, People, New York Magazine, Forbes, BuzzFeed, CNN, CNBC, and much more. So welcome, Tori, to the Happy Being Well podcast. I'm excited that you're here.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So this definitely is a subject matter that definitely impacts women. We were not taught, you know, to be financially responsible at all, even when it comes to mathematics in general. Men, boys were always kind of seen as more mathematically stronger. You know, it's just a kind of a gender thing as well. We were just never equipped. And so in your book, which I love your book, you touch on stuff that, you know, is so relatable to all women, if not also males too. So tell us, like, and it's such a vast topic. I mean, when it comes to money, yeah, you have to save. There's investing. There's budgeting. It's a whole, you know, especially in today's climate, everything's always changing. So when it comes to a woman embarking on this journey, where should she start?
Yeah. So I even want to debunk, you know, that you need to be good at math to be good at money. I majored in theater and communication in college. I did not major in finance. I did not major in business. And I think that is another misconception about money is that, oh, it's, if you're not good at spreadsheets, if you're not good at math, you're not going to be good at money. And the truth is, it's like, you were not born with a good with money gene or born without one. Just like any other skill, it is teachable. It is learned and taught. And so if you want to get good at money, all of these narratives that we debunk in the book, like, you know, talking about money is taboo or the pursuit of wealth is wrong, or you have to be good at math in order to be good at money. These are all barriers to entry, especially for systemic issues or around, you know, systemic oppression and for marginalized groups. So in terms of actually getting started, we spend the entire first chapter of my book, Financial Feminist, talking about the emotions of money. And you have to start actually with all of the nitty gritty, kind of not so fun stuff, which is understanding your financial trauma, understanding again, what sort of narratives or beliefs are you holding about money or about people with it or about the pursuit of wealth. I can't teach you how to create a budget. I can't teach you how to pay off debt until you start to understand your emotional triggers and your financial triggers. And so the first chapter is the longest chapter in the book. It is the one we spent the most time on for a reason. And it's a really great level set. And I see, unfortunately, very few books about money or books about women's self-development, not just talking about, you know, the actionable resources, but also the mindset. And we really try to do both here. In terms of, you know, exactly how to start progressing in your financial life, once you start to understand your emotional triggers, start to understand your financial trauma, start to understand the narratives or the stories you're believing about money, the next step is to automate everything you possibly can. Automate your savings, automate your bill pay, automate your credit cards. If their tool is at your disposal, which is technology and automation, we may as well use it. And again, that includes not just your automation of bills or credit card statements, but also your savings. You can set up an automatic transfer from your checking account to your savings account, even if it's just $20 a month. And that's going to make a huge difference of putting your savings on autopilot.
I love that. And it's such a time saver as well. Like, who wants to manually pay their bills, especially when the bills come in the mail? It's like, or even if it gets inboxed to your email, it's like,
right.
It's just, I don't know. I have everything automated, but also too, it's also good for your credit score too. Because if you're late paying a phone bill or what have you, it dings your credit score, does it not?
Yes. The biggest part about credit scores are you paying your bills on time and in full? So yeah, if your credit card is due on the 15th and you don't pay it, right? Or if it's a late payment, then not only, of course, are you then incurring debt and potentially a late fee, but you're also, yeah, taking a ding to your credit.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Love that. And So we start off with the emotions, but you know, even prior to, you share your story with us in the beginning of the book, which I loved. And I think a lot of us, you know, I think a lot of us can relate to it, is like your experience in the workplace. And also too, the fact that you were able to actually leave corporate is because you were financially responsible and you had the financial discipline to actually set aside a portion of your paycheck, you know, throughout your working history to save the $100K in order to leave and start your own thing. So how did that come about in terms of you being able to, I remember, you know, myself on my journey, or even during university years or high school years, I remember always having like a summer job or job after school. And I was always diligently saving myself like you, but I remember my school friends would just like spend their whole paycheck, right? Cause it's like, you know, do they get so excited about, they need to have that hot outfit or whatever, or that lipstick and their whole, mind you, I was always getting a few things, but I would never spend my whole paycheck. So where did that come from? How did you know to be able to be so, especially at a young age?
I had parents who were teaching me about money, and it was a privilege 100%. And you don't realize it's a privilege and not just the norm until you start having conversations with other people. And so I thought, everybody knows not to overspend on credit cards. Everybody knows how to save money. And of course I realized that that wasn't the case when I was the friend all of my friends were coming to for advice and guidance around money. And, it 100% is a privilege to have that financial education. And with that privilege for me came the responsibility, which is why I do the work now that I do at Her First 100K is, okay, you know, you grow up in a system that is already full of oppression. And I think that the personal finance equation for, and we talk about this in the book as well, for many, many years, and still for plenty of people, is, you know, if you are not rich and you're not working hard enough, it is your own fault. It is your own failing. And the truth is that it's probably about 20% personal choices and 80% circumstances, including but not limited to racism, ableism, sexism, homophobia, recession, inflation, lack of paid family leave, and everything else. And part of that is like, did you grow up with parents who understood how to navigate the financial system? If you're a first gen American, the answer is no. If you are a person of color, your answer is probably also most likely no. And so for me, again, that privilege of the financial education is the reason I do what I do now. I was, you know, I had that basics, you know, kind of class from my parents, but then I also, when I was in college and after I graduated, I became obsessed with understanding more about money, because I realized it meant choices. And I think that that's something that people start to understand when they read our book and consume our resources, is it's we're not a money company or a financial company. We are a feminist company who happens to use money as like the thing that we use to connect with people, right? And the truth is, like we were talking about offline, if you want anything, in life. Under a capitalist system, you need money, right? You want to travel, you need money. You want to have kids, you need money. You want to not have kids, you want to buy a house, you want to rent, you want to travel, you need money for all of it, right? And yeah, you want to go to therapy, you need money. So I think that one of the things we really discuss in our work is this idea that when you have money and when you're taken care of, right, when you start to understand the financial system, when you start to pay off your debt and save money and invest, it's like oxygen mask finances is what we call it, right? If you can put your oxygen mask on first, then you can not only help others, but we can also create a world and an environment where every single person gets an oxygen mask and it's not a privilege for a select few. And that started again with I think my parents growing up without a lot and then understanding, okay, if we don't teach this to her, she's not going to know. And so passing down that knowledge.
Awesome. I love that. So after you left corporate, you started Her First 100K. So what is that? It's an organization. What is that about?
So Her First 100K is the brand I started on the side of my 9-to-5 back in 2016. So this actually was launched and a thriving business even before I quit my 9-to-5. I was working a social media job and corporate and then building Her First 100K, which is a financial education company. So we have over 3.5 million followers across all of our social media. We have a podcast called Financial Feminist. We have a book now with Financial Feminist, which is a New York Times bestseller, which is still thrilling to say. And so Her First 100K now has 15 team members, but started originally as a side hustle of me, you know, sitting down and educating people about money. Maybe that was like a one-on-one coaching session. Maybe that was in a workshop. And now it's expanded to this kind of global movement of financial feminism, of teaching women actionable resources to pay off debt, save money, negotiate their salaries, invest, but really to use that financial education as a form of protest against a society and a system that constantly disenfranchises us. So it's this idea, again, that you know we don't have any sort of equality for any marginalized group until we have financial equality. And this is a media company built on educating women about money. And it's my life's work. It's what I believe I was put on this earth to do.
I love that. I love the concept you use that, you know, it's like a protest to find fulfilling work. Because I think that is one of the trending, you know, topics out there is about work. You know, we've seen the great resignation. You know, a lot of people want to start their own businesses or be a freelancer, join the gig economy, or what, just basically work for themselves in order to have more control over their schedule, have more time for their friends and family, for themselves. And when you can control your schedule and you can work around your own biological clock so that you're not exhausted all the time. I think that's one of the main motivators for what we're seeing today. I don't necessarily think that it's all about, oh, I want to be a millionaire or whatever. I'd really just feel it's people just want to be more mentally healthy.
It's how we define rich, right? You can define rich or wealthy by how much is in your bank account. And that's not necessarily a bad thing to do. But I think more and more people, including myself, yes, it's again, what money can buy you, how you can use money as a tool to build the life that you love, but also like, how am I time rich, right? Like, how do I get to spend my time? How do I get to spend my energy? Again, for me, like corporate, I became very disillusioned very quickly because I was making someone I didn't respect rich. I was, you know, at my desk for 40 plus hours a week, even if my work was done at 20 hours, I was having to, you know, the corporate classic corporate thing is like, you have to ask to take a vacation, right? You got to get your paid time off request accepted. And also you only get 10 vacation days a year. And when I was 22 and thinking, okay, I want to climb the corporate ladder and I want to be VP of marketing by 30 and I want to wear pencil skirts and stomp the pavement. Like that was a complete and total fantasy. And I got into corporate and within probably 2-3 weeks, those rose-colored glasses came off. And Her First 100K was both, you know, this mission that I was really, really passionate about, really spurred by the 2016 election, because I graduated college not long before Donald Trump got elected. But it was also my own kind of escape pod. It was the realization that, okay, if I can build a successful business, on the side and eventually turn it into my full-time thing, I don't have to be beholden to someone else. I don't have to be financially dependent on someone else. Not even in a corporate way, but you know, I have enough money now. I could retire tomorrow if I wanted to. And of course I love this work too much to do that. But like that is the feeling I want for every single person, but really every single woman on this planet, is the ability to be in situations you want to be in rather than situations you're forced to be in. And you need money to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I completely agree. You know, if you wanted to have more control over your life, you definitely need money to do that. And the fact that you were, you know, you actually were doing this while you were working full time, which I, by the way, that is very commendable, especially at such a young age, you know.
When it's also a huge privilege. I'm a cisgendered, straight, able-bodied white woman, you know. And so, like, I think that there's one thing about, like, the side hustle where, like, I was able to side hustle because I cared about the thing, because I wasn't dealing with significant health issues, because I don't have anybody dependent on me financially, right? So like I worked my ass off. I think side hustle is only a side hustle if it's not a necessity, right? It's like this fun thing you're doing because you're passionate about it or because you're trying to make a little extra money, right? Otherwise, it's just a second job. And so I think that one of the things I try to define in the book, especially when I'm talking about a side hustle, is it's like, we have taken this seemingly like fun thing. And it's like, sometimes for most people, that's just the reality. It's not like an option. It's a necessity. But yeah, I think it was definitely driven by a passion of seeing my own experience at work, my women friends at work, their experience watching women get passed over for opportunities and, having weird sexist things said to me at work. And, yeah, again, when you have money, you have the ability to have all of the beautiful things in life that you want. And again, you're not financially dependent on anybody. And the side hustle for me was kind of my way out of that, but it was also, you know, something I got to do because I wanted to and because I had free time, when plenty of other people, I think that's not the case for them.
Good point. Yeah. I like the fact that you said that you have the passion, because, you know, I was in corporate too myself, you know, before Happy Being Well, and I didn't have kids. I had the time after, you know, I left corporate. I was working full time, but I was working in marketing just like you. And it was very demanding. I remember coming home, and actually I was trying to build Happy Being Well. But I will be honest, it was like very little. I could not devote a lot of hours to it at all. I was so drained from working my high demand marketing job. It took everything out of me, because I was a person, I had a lot of passion for marketing. So I went above and beyond. Honestly, I couldn't stop, and I kept, like, I was my own boss. I drove myself to the ground. So anyways, but you definitely need passion to fuel your energy to, you know, for something. I'm a Pisces, I'm a codependent, I'm an empath. So of course, as part of being all that, I'm self-sacrificing. So I self-sacrificed myself for the company, by my own accord. No one asked me to, right? So that's just my personality type. We have to also, I like the fact that, you know, your first chapter is to uncover your emotions, to really do need to kind of like learn about ourselves before embarking on this journey to really understand how we make our decisions and what fuels us, what our passions are, because that correlates to our energy levels and how we make decisions and what we want and what we desire.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So your book is a number one bestseller also on Amazon. You have amazing reviews from Time Magazine saying Tori Dunlap is on top of the personal finance world. You have another review from Rebecca Minkoff. Tori makes personal finance inclusive, easy to understand, and fun. Financial feminist deserves a space on every woman's bookshelf. Those of you who don't know Rebecca Minkoff, you know, she's the owner of the fashion brand Minkoff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Her own company, Rebecca Minkoff. Yep.
Yeah. So where can people buy the book, Tori?
You can buy books, or you can buy the book wherever books are sold. Yeah, it's a New York Times bestseller. Again, I was saying before, it's the thrill of my life to get to say that, but literally wherever you get your books, Amazon, your local independent bookstore really needs your support. Barnes and Noble, Target, Walmart, anywhere you get your books, and ebook and audiobook as well.
Perfect. And if people want to learn more about you as well, where can they go?
Yeah, you can go to herfirst100k.com, herfirst100k.com, or at herfirst100k on all the socials. And then the book and podcast are both called Financial Feminist.
Okay, perfect. So thank you so much for being on the Happy Being Well podcast. And guys, I've read her book. I'm still working on reading the rest of it. It's really, really, really good. I highly, highly recommend go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you go to buy books and buy her book, Financial Feminist, okay? Especially if you're a female. It really does go into a deep dive and to get you on the financial desire or goal that you have, okay? And so again, Tori, thank you so much. And everybody else, remember to be happy being well. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, subscribe so you don't miss another episode. All right, until next time, guys.
If you learned something new or were inspired to live happy being well, please be sure to subscribe to the Happy Being Well podcast so you don't miss an upcoming episode. Also, please feel free to leave a 5-star review, including what you learned or what inspired you in today's episode. This podcast is presented by happybeingwell.com, your online store for natural wellness products, so you can live happy being well. Order your next all-natural essential oil, all-natural face mask, all-natural bath soap, all-natural deodorant, herbal tea, crystals including crystal home decor and kitchen items, irresistible leggings, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Free shipping on all orders within the USA.